To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The words of Proverbs 1, verses 2 through 7. The beginning of the book, the way Solomon makes the call, hey, maybe you should listen to this. It's a gift. It's a gift from God to know more than man knows by himself. Isn't that kind of what makes Solomon's story when he asks for wisdom so wonderful? I mean, didn't you love that one as a kid? How God comes to him as a young king after all of this Absalom rebellion thing finally fades away. David dies, and the end of his life isn't the greatest thing ever, but he dies in faith. And then here is his son, chosen, anointed, having the promise to sit on David's throne forever, which God had given to the son of David. And God comes and says, so now that you're going to sit here on this throne forever, what do you want? Do you want all the money in the world? Do you want all the power in the world? Do you want all the women in the world? And Solomon says, make me wise, which is make me a good ruler, right? Make me capable of serving those you've given me to serve. I mean, that in itself is the greatest wisdom that there ever could be or is, which is what he says here, right? He recognized the fear of the Lord, faith, right? I have not the ability to do this thing. Luther has a prayer, which he would pray, at least so the story goes, before he would get into the pulpit, every time he would preach. I actually don't have it here with me, so I can't read it to you. It's in my cubicle. But I used to pray it every day when I would do my devotions before work as a pastor. And I can only summarize it for you because I don't have it memorized. But it says something to the end of, O Lord, I am a worthless servant. I am too small for this task and too weak to really understand or approach it. So I ask you, please, you do it, because if you leave it for me to do, then I'm going to pretty much mess up the entire thing. I'll bring it all to ruin. Amen. Yeah. And again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's a wonderful prayer precisely because it recognizes that the greatest good that there is comes from outside of us. It's not something I find deep within my heart. It's not something I can build up by my efforts at believing against all, whatever. The fear of the Lord is revealed from outside. It is God's own word. And so if you would be wise, and who would not want to do that? Well, it's out there. But if you would be wise, if you would have insight, if you would know how to deal with, now notice what he says first, righteousness, which is Old Testament talk for, well, faith, for perfection, for what man ought to be. And with that righteousness, justice, good and evil, right and wrong, and equity. We see those little equal signs on people's bumper stickers these days because, well, they believe in equity. Equality. We would argue that they are misguided in their approach to what equality really means, but they're building on the capital of a Christian worldview. Because paganism in the ancient world doesn't teach equity. Islam doesn't teach equity. Christianity does teach equity, that all people are valuable in God's sight, equally wandered as sheep gone astray and equally redeemed by the blood of Jesus. If you would understand all these things, so that you might be one who then gives prudence to the simple. You see somebody in need and you know how to help them. discretion to the youth, that you can raise your children to be good citizens, to understand the world. Well then, since you're wise enough to hunger for it, hear and increase in learning, right? All that we've been talking about with Proverbs and what the rest of the book will say, and really what the rest of the Bible's about. Hear and increase in learning. Understand and obtain guidance. Be able to perceive the meaning of words, right? When he says, understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles, it's like Luther says about the first commandment. He who understands this one commandment understands everything. They are able to judge kingdoms. Because the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer, our catechism, our echo, they are the totality of wisdom. They are the guide, the roadmap for what it means to be a fallen sinner in a broken world under a God of grace. And it all begins with recognizing that you don't come to this knowledge on your own, that it has to be given to you. Yeah. I mean, think about it. You come out of the womb, what do you know? You don't even have language yet. It all has to be given to you. So silly that we would grow up and then say, well, now look inside your heart and you'll find the truth. Wait, what? I didn't learn to brush my teeth by looking inside my heart. I didn't learn how to eat healthy by looking inside my heart. I didn't even learn how to exercise by looking inside my heart. How am I going to know who God is unless God himself says something to me? I found it interesting. I'll talk more about this in a few moments. Last night at the event at Washington University, there were some protesters there who did not even come in to hear the talk. There were some who did. And those who did, they asked some questions afterwards. They came up and spoke with me. They were very pleasant. I could tell some of them were struggling with me, but they were kind. They attempted to be civil, and I really appreciated that. But most of their questions were looking for reasonable answers, and I was trying to help them see that the scriptures, once believed, are reasonable. But they came to it not believing that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that why we hold to what we hold to as Christians is because Jesus is risen from the dead, and so we trust what he says. So one of them actually accused me, says, so basically your argument is that God says so. And I said, well, yeah. I mean, because when God speaks, he speaks. You know, what am I to do? I think it actually makes sense. I think I showed a small reason for why that is. But yeah, that is our argument. God says so. And that was Jesus' argument. I say so. I mean, he kind of did give this one caveat. I say so, so if you don't believe me, kill me, and it won't matter. It'll actually achieve the very thing I've come to do. And then we did, and then he did. And Christianity begins there with that, right? Seeing in that cross of Jesus, in that crucifixion, the fear of the Lord at its great crux of history, its great pinnacle of reality, the greatest man that ever lived because he simply believed what his father said. That the father's word was in him to such a way that he would never, ever turn from it. And even his good friends were as Satan to him when they would dissuade him from that fear of the Lord. That's why we're studying Proverbs bit by bit here. That's why we give you this morning drive for the soul, so that every day you might have the word of God, the ultimate wisdom, the greatest comfort, the deepest hope, poured into you from the outside. Because in this wisdom is life.